Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 4. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And he says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, you rulers and you elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of a good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now think about what he just said. He said, you crucified him, and God raised him up. The thing that was troubling them a minute ago was that they preached the resurrection. He just preached it in their presence. Do you know how central the resurrection is to everything that we stand upon and believe? Without the resurrection, all of this would be a farce. If the dead rise not, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, then we are of all men most miserable. If the dead rise not, then let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. People who live their lives as nice people, following all the rules, and those people who do that without knowing Jesus may as well just kick it off, man. Let's just go party. Paul said, that's a legitimate answer. Go for all the fun, because this is all you get. In the book of Psalms, the Bible talks about, as David's reflecting upon the world, he says they have their portion in this life. Eat, drink, and be merry. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, eat, drink, and be merry. But guess what? He did rise from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, we have prospects on heaven. We have open door to the glory of God and the blessing of God and the bliss of his presence and eternal, eternal, eternal glory. It's going to be a good day. And what we have is those devices because Jesus not only died on the cross, but he also rent the veil of the temple, making access available. Remember when he died on the cross, a great earthquake happened, the veil broke from the top to the bottom? We know that that gave us access, but it gave us more than that. It gave us a picture of the heart of God because that was where God resided. And when somebody was grieving, they would rent their garments. And God rent the garment in the temple and he said, that's my son! And my son just died for you! He just died for you! You and I have devices on glory because of the resurrection. If it would have ended with a rent veil, we could grieve from here to home. But Jesus rose from the dead. That's what Peter preached, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit as he did so. He says in verse 10, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He says, this is the stone which you builders have set at naught, which has become the head of the corner. Now, what you may not understand about that is in those words, what he's saying is there's a prophecy in the Old Testament that says the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. He's the cornerstone. Now, a cornerstone was like a plumb line for something going up and down or like a level line, something going horizontally. It was the line that you judge everything else by. You see, you might have seen that plumb line. You got the plumb bob, and it's trying to give you the exact thing. What I'm saying is, Jesus became the standard from that day forward. He says, you guys think Moses is the standard. Moses played his role, but Jesus is the head of the corner. And by Jesus and the prophets and the apostles, we now have a foundation upon which we can live and make an impact. The Bible says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not that we may be saved, but we must. You see, the thing that we love more than anything, whether we like to admit it or not, is ourselves. That's why the Bible says, look not every man on the things of his own self, but also on the things of others. Because he knows asking us not to think anything about ourselves is not going to work. We need to think less of ourselves as we go along. But the reality is, the Bible says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. You know, as mad as you can be about circumstances in life, you still go get some ice cream. You know, give me some comfort. No matter how hard life gets, you still go get those chips or that popcorn, or you get that big old double hamburger up there. You know, you just say, I don't care. I'm getting an extra slab of meat on that baby. I'm sad. I'm sad. I'm eating. I've been having a fascination with pancakes lately. Pancakes are good. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Amen. I like that. I've been enjoying them a little bit too much lately. But the point is that you don't hate your flesh. You love you. Your darling is you. And the Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? He says, don't fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. That's Jesus speaking. He wasn't being mean. He's telling you straight. You need to trust Jesus. Because he took the punishment for your sin. And he's the only one that could do it. And therefore, God is just in letting you and me in. He died to take the death penalty that I owed. He went in my place. But then he conquered death by raising from the dead. He blotted out my sins. That's in chapter 3. Verse 13 says, now they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. I like that. Unlearned. Do you know what's happening today? People send their kids to college and their kids get stupid. They teach them the foolishness of rebellion and disrespect, and they undo what parents have poured into their kids from the time they were at their knee all the way up until the time they launched. They go to university and they're taught socialism, Marxism, communism, and they go out and they cause riots on college campuses. And then they give them a device that makes them think they're smart because they can get an answer from somebody who will say it just like they wish they could because they're not quite stupid enough yet to say it that way. You got to be really stupid to say some of the stuff that people say. Like, for instance, there are no absolutes. Is that absolutely true? How can you say this stuff? It doesn't work. The Bible says that people in Romans 1 at the end of the chapter, it says that they do those things which aren't convenient. What that means is when it convenes, it doesn't work. You know what you can't have? You can't have men and women in the same showers in high school. It doesn't work. And that's what they're doing. There was one woman from that legal firm, American Civil Liberties Union, who was a big proponent of all things wicked until they got to that point. And when her daughters had to go to school and go to the showers with the boys, she said, I just can't go that far. It wasn't convenient. It doesn't work. You know what works? This works. The Word of God. That's what works. He's the only one who knows what's right and wrong. And he knows men can't be trusted and women can't be trusted. That's why we need Jesus. Bible says in verse 13, they were seeing them as ignorant, unlearned. And one lexicon used the word ignoramuses. They just looked at them as ignoramuses. But the Bible says, nevertheless, they marveled. There's that word again. You might circle it as we go through the book of Acts. Every time God does a miracle, like this man who got his feet healed and was able to walk, it says they marveled. And the Bible says, and they took knowledge. And the word epigenosko is here. Not just gnosko, it's epigenosko, which means they went beyond just seeing what they saw and knowing it. They saw the implications of it fully. They knew exactly what they saw. They knew Jesus had been crucified. They knew that he had been seen all across the landscape for the past 40 days. And they knew that this man was being healed and miraculously, and they could not deny it. There's a point where people can't deny it, but do so anyway. That's a scary place to be. The Bible says in verse 4, beholding the man that was standing there, they could say nothing against it. What was the man still doing there? He was healed yesterday. They'd been in jail all night, but the man showed up because, you know, those guys, they're pretty cool. I want to be around them. Do you love the church? I hope you do, because there's a whole group of people in America today who think church is a joke. Jesus said, I will build my church. And if your church is a joke, get another one. Get one that's serious about the gospel. Because church is not meant to be a joke. It's meant to be a place where we come in and we say, I want to be around those people because they're going to tell me the unsearchable riches about Jesus. And I have a tendency to forget. I have a tendency to let it slip. I have a tendency to lose the plot. And I, for all that's in me, I want to get it right. reason I'm a preacher today is because when I got saved, I wanted to be able to get it right. I didn't want to tell my friends, you know, that I just got saved and not have any words. I just, it was like an instilled passion to figure out how to explain it. Little did I know what God was up to. But here's the thing. The Bible says in verse 16, what shall we do to these men? They're having a conference. For indeed a notable miracle has happened. And so what did they do? In verse 18 it says they commanded them not to speak. Stop doing that. That's all they did. You stop it now. You stop it now. Well, how'd that work out? Well, the Bible says that after they released them, in verse 23, it says they went back to their own company and they reported everything that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they all heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord, saying, Lord, Thou art God who had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David made us to understand the prophecy of Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. You want to know who it's talking about in Psalm 2? He's telling you. Doesn't use the word Christ in Psalm 2. It says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with thee. And there was no Son to kiss at that time, but it was a prophecy of Christ's coming. And over again, they just kind of reflect. Do you find yourself oft reflecting about who He is? I'll tell you when you'll reflect about who He is more. It's when you've shared Christ with somebody. You're going to say, man, did I say that right? Did I do that right? And chances are you didn't do it perfect, but maybe you got it better this time than last time. And you kind of go back and you retool it. You talk to somebody who was from a Mormon persuasion, which, by the way, is a cult. Did I say that? Yeah, it's a cult. You need to know that. Jehovah's Witness is a cult. Seventh-day Adventist, cult. I'm not worried about the radio saying they're not going to send me money. I'm worried about people who are believers believing that stuff is true. And it's not true. We need to be clear. There's a whole world of error out there. The Word of God, it is where we need to keep ourselves focused. It won't go wrong there. But if you start chasing people and men, you're going to be in trouble. And the Bible tells us in this passage that these guys were reflecting. And they learned something from being in the midst of that council. They learned that these people had arrayed themselves against God. They went back and they said, the kings of the earth gathered themselves against. And I'm thinking, well, they were just inside that council. That was all Jews. That was all Jews. Why did they say everybody, the kings of all the earth? Well, look what they did. They're reflecting. Verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. They're reflecting. They're saying, man, I look over by the shoulder. And way back when he was first born, Herod had all those children killed under 3 years old. Killed them all. They're thinking, man, this is serious business. Pilate washed his hands and crucified Jesus. Those are Gentiles. People say, oh, the Jews, terrible people. No! Humanity is fallen. And we're all culpable and we all stood at the cross. Our sin nailed him there. And this is why it's so powerful that he keeps going to the Jews. But look at this, verse 28. They gathered together to do whatever beforehand your counsel determined to be done. God let it happen. God knew by His precognition, knowing down through the corridors of time, that if I create a free agent in humanity, they will sin, they will go their own way. So as He pondered, as it were, somewhere He determined it. He determined that Jesus would die and be killed. You see, God was the one who what? Loved the world so much that He gave His Son. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.